take projection.
Welcome back to Taking On Sports, y'all. We know you missed us. I'm TD. That's Greg. Greg, how you doing this week?
I am good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, sir. We'll hop right into it, y'all. Talk about some football. No Bama this week, of course. Had that nice bye week. Rest up. So we'll hop into SEC first. Tennessee, the hot team at the moment. They handled Kentucky in a ranked matchup yesterday. Just kind of rolled through them. That offense continues to roll on, and defense looks, you know, solid enough too.
Oh yeah, they definitely took it to Kentucky. I mean, I wasn't shocked that they won the game. I guess I was a little surprised just how easily they handled Kentucky. I mean, they after that first touchdown drive by Kentucky, I mean, they shut down everything and made The defense looked much improved as well, and that's been the biggest question about Tennessee this year is if the defense was going to get better, and they definitely did a good job making Will Levis look very average last night.
For sure, yeah. That Tennessee scored right off the bat, and then Kentucky had a long, long drive, and it looked like that was going to be their game, just slow everything down. But like you said, that Tennessee defense stepped up.
Yeah, they did.
And didn't really let the Cats do anything much rest of the game. Elsewhere, cocktail party, Georgia destroyed Florida. Florida had a little bit of fight in the second half, but
– yeah, a little bit.
Not enough. We all expected that. No surprises there.
No.
Ole Miss went in the A&M and won, a close one. A&M getting their money's worth with Jimbo, $95 million for 4-5 lost seasons.
And did you see, like, he's 1-7 in his last eight SEC games? Mm-hmm. Yikes!
Yeah, not good. And then Lane trolling his ass after the game too.
Oh man, hilarious! That seems to be the actual real rivalry. Everybody was like, "Oh, Jimbo and Nick," but Lane has really been going after him.
Seems to be a little something there, and you gotta like it. I mean, I laugh. South Carolina, freshly off being ranked, went and lost to Missouri.
That's a horrible loss.
Horrible.
I mean, you had that one, four in a row there, coming, get ranked.
With an easy schedule, like Missouri, Vanderbilt, like they got, easy games left.
Yeah, I thought maybe if they could beat them, Vandy, and then go into that Tennessee game, with a lot of momentum, Tennessee coming in, at least it would look somewhat interesting on paper, but yeah.
not so much. Let's see. Elsewhere, Arkansas went into Auburn and won. Yes. Kind of pulled away from that one. Just, Auburn continues to
count the days.
Just kind of move along. I guess I don't know if they're waiting for a buyout clause to trigger or something.
I don't know, because sounds like they're interested in the Mississippi State AD, so I don't know if that's going to get the wheels rolling if they can bring him in.
Yeah, well, that's just as the days of our lives, type thing. Watch whatever goes on there. Next week, though, big, big week in the SEC.
We have that
huge number one versus number two now tilt. Georgia and Tennessee in Athens.
Number two.
What do you think, Greg? What do you think about that?
I would still give the advantage to Georgia just because, first of all, it's in Athens. That's going to be a big, huge thing, I think, for them. And I don't know, Georgia has really been playing good football as of late. Ever since that close game against Mizzou, they've looked really different. And just the different ways that they're able to score, running the ball, throwing. They look really good as of late. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think Georgia is going to come out on top there.
Yeah, I think I probably agree with you there. Tennessee, you know, they had the big win over Alabama. Yeah. Obviously, that's, you know, getting over a major hurdle there. But that was at home, keyed up crowd, you know, a lot of energy in that stadium. But going into, you know, Sanford Stadium in Athens between hedges, that's a whole different
ball game
right there.
Exactly.
But it should be. That
would be a fun game, though. Yeah, like,
yeah, that's the major 2:30 game next week. Right. And then at night, one that we didn't really suspect would be as big as it is. But, and there goes, speaking of Alabama, there goes Derrick Henry on a long run.
Big run.
Alabama goes to Baton Rouge in nighttime, primetime, for a big ranked matchup for control of the SEC West at that.
Yeah, definitely not one that we really thought was going to be the, a big matchup there, kind of how LSU started the year, and they got blown out by Tennessee, but, you know, they rebounded well, got the big win over Ole Miss, and this week definitely, and think that they're first right now in the SEC West is kind of crazy to think about, where we've seen them be at times, but, you know, it'll be interesting. I'm glad Alabama seems to finally got the cornerback situation, at least from last week. Because Miss State kind of figured it out. It looks like Rick is out of, Eli is out of the doghouse, kind of. So I like what I saw from that last week. So.
No, yeah, you got to like a guy who played as aggressive as he did against Mississippi State last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Really hope that is something that we can use, especially against some of those big, strong LSU receivers.
For sure.
But, yeah, so that'll be one to watch.
Man, that would be a good one.
You know, it'll be hyped up. You know, everybody will talk about nighttime in Death Valley.
Yeah.
They'll talk about that, but we'll see.
You know, we found out that's maybe a little – I mean, it's a fun atmosphere, but, I mean, we've handled it many times, so.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I mean, last time it was there, I believe, in 2020 season, that was a primetime game late in the year, and Devontae Smith basically sealed his – Heisman campaign with that amazing catch in the back of the end zone, that one-handed grab.
Yeah.
Other games of note next week, Florida travels to A&M. Two teams kind of just plodding along, but, you know, we'll see if, you know, Billy Napier, it's his first season, whereas Jimbo, it's his, what, fifth?
Yeah.
So you kind of –
big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big. You know, you just want to see what – I mean, they came out with some energy last night. I mean – they finally let the freshman go with A&M. I mean, he put through. He had some good moments there against Ole Miss. There, almost had the chance at the end there. But just BC. You know, when these young guys lose that many times in a row, you know, just what effort do they continue to bring? So that'd be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. It's something to just kind of a game that doesn't really. Mean have any bearing on the standings, but just something you want to pay attention to for what direction those programs are trending.
Right.
And then the Auburn sadness tour rolls on to Starkville. So then that's one of those games. Anything could happen. Auburn could go in there, pull the upset, stay by 40.
It is. You know? Yeah. Who really knows with either team there? Cause yeah, Mississippi State's looked bad the last couple of weeks. Had a bad week at Kentucky and really shouldn't have scored against Alabama. We'll see.
All right, we'll move to the ACC. A couple of upsets for the headliners in that. Notre Dame went into the Dome in Syracuse and beat them thoroughly, in fact. You know, the offense exploded. Defense played a great game. So maybe Marcus Freeman's got the Irish on the up now. You know, sometimes it just takes those teams with new coaches about a half a season or so to really get in the gear. And then the other big one, number 10, Wake, went into Louisville and got smashed.
Slaughtered. Oh, my goodness.
Don't know. Used to live in Louisville. I saw this morning on one of the social media things. I don't know which one, but someone I knew up there was like, where's this team been all season?
Right.
It's probably a good question if you're a Cardinals fan, because that's Scott Satterfield, you know, that helps out his hot seat.
Yeah, it does.
Cools it down a little bit because that was a thorough beating. And the defense played really well against that high-powered Wake.
Yeah, they did. But they got like two or three picks in the second half. And they look And they just opened it up because it was close going. Weren't they down, what, 14-13 at the half? And
just, it was, yeah. It was a close game. And then the Louisville just really turned it on. Took it to a different level,
yeah.
So big win for them going forward, too, try to get, you know, a better bowl game.
Exactly.
The season goes on, and maybe Satterfield might have saved his job for another year. Job.
Yeah, for sure.
Elsewhere, let's see, NC State a winner, UNC a winner, Florida State a winner, and Miami, I guess we could call them a winner. They didn't win.
What was that, four overtimes?
Four overtime, and what was the score, 12-9 or 15-12 or 14-12, something?
Yeah.
Cause yeah, 14-12 because they went to the 2-point overtime.
Yeah, 2-point after third. Yeah,
it was sad, sad game.
My goodness.
And then next week they host Florida State. That big one. That certainly doesn't have the prowess that matchup did back. I know when we were in school, that was appointment viewing that first weekend of.
Yeah, was it Labor Day?
Yeah, Labor Day weekend. Labor Day games, and they really hyped up. They're prime time 1 year. You know, that used to be a huge,
now huge it's kinda
game
like,
every year, national title implications. And now,
I mean, it could be, I mean, honestly, I mean, it probably won't be, but I mean, it could be on the ACC network.
It might be, you never know. They might sneak down on ESPN. I haven't looked at the schedules. But yeah, that's a, you know, Mario Cristobal, that would go a long way to making the Miami fan base feel better about his first year.
Yeah, for sure. And
Mike Norvell would just be another step forward for Florida State.
Wow, that's crazy. I just saw the touchdown by the
The Panthers.
Hail Mary Panthers, DJ Moore.
Wow. Oh, man. It's been a fun early afternoon of football.
Yeah, it is.
Even, you know, it was only, I think, three real close games, but the other ones were at least, you know, just a lot of scoring. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but the Eagles just going off again.
Oh, wow. Yeah. On the Steelers, my goodness. Yeah.
But we'll move to the Big Ten. Big game yesterday, Ohio State, Penn State. It's close for a good while, and then the Buckeyes pulled away late, won by a few scores. I was talking to my dad on the phone about it, and we had the same opinion. James Franklin's just not a good big game coach. Like, do you ever watch one of these big games that Penn State's in and really have any confidence that they're going to pull it out?
You never think, oh, man, this is a – yeah, exactly. I think he's like one in – I know it's said like top 5 or 10 matchups. He's 1-10 in those games or something. So, but yeah. I mean, yeah, you never really thought, oh, today's going to be the day. Even when they were up at the half and everything, yeah, you really never thought, oh, man, Penn State's really about to pull this one off. Just kind of waiting, thinking, well, you know, it's about to.
Yeah, it just seems like there's, you know, pivotal moments in all these big Penn State games, and he just gets, you know, a decision wrong, a play called, or something, you know, like, you know, they went for it on fourth down in the first half when they could have kicked a field goal and, you know, move their lead to four. Just it just seems like you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop when you're watching Penn State in a big game with Franklin. And he's a good coach. Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, saying he's a bad coach. It's just, does he have that level? Is it a talent?
Take it to the next level.
Yeah, is it a talent thing? It's a question, you know. Maybe he's better suited for like a Vanderbilt type program where he can.
Where you can go 8-4, 9-3.
Yeah, and exceed expectations. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point there. You know, but I think that they played better than a lot of people expected. But yeah, again, it's not about moral victories. And did he miss the extra point? Oh my goodness,
he did indeed. Oh man, Carolina gets a miracle touchdown and then misses the extra point. So it is, yep. Overtime time. Oh, yeah.
Kind of the
player can't believe it.
That is kind of the just how the NFC South has been this year.
Big Ten elsewhere. Michigan beat Michigan State pretty easily.
Yeah.
Illinois keeps on winning, man.
Illinois is
rolling. Like they're going to represent the West in the Big Ten title game, barring a late season collapse there, but. Good old Brett Bielema. Never was sure.
Bielema's really
Burt.
He's He definitely meant to be a Big Ten coach, it seems like. I mean, yeah, a couple okay years there at Arkansas, really fell off at the end. But really, I mean, to have Illinois as bad as they were when he came to Champaign, I mean, that's pretty impressive, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really turned that program around. And like we said, he's in the driver's seat in the Big Ten West, the Illini. Yeah. So.
I mean, very well. I mean, even if they, don't win the big, they're probably not going to win the Big Ten. But I mean, you would have to think it. You know, if they, that's your only other loss was to win it, lose in the Big Ten title game. I mean, that could be a New Year's Six game, and that'd be huge for that Illini program.
So. Yeah, it would be huge. No real big games of note next week in the Big Ten, so we'll move on to the Big 12. The big one there, Kansas State hosted Oklahoma State for kind of a controller, not controller, but for, you know, positioning at the top of the Big 12. And Kansas State, 48-0.
Just craziness.
Wildcats dominated.
Yeah, start to finish. They just opened up early and, man.
Was it the biggest shutout win in history by a lower-ranked team over a top 10 team.
Yeah, top 10. Yeah, I saw that.
So Kansas State looking damn good right now. I believe they're still unbeaten in the Big 12. Their only loss was to Tulane.
No, they lost to TCU.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they had the big TCU loss. That's right.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still in that title. I mean, they very well could get the rematch of TCU in the Big 12 title game.
Right. Interesting. So. But yeah, that gives them a firm grip on second place now. And speaking of TCU, they went into Morgantown and won a wild one, as they usually are in Morgantown.
Yeah, definitely a wild one. But, you know, it's good for the Frogs. I mean, I think it's the first time they won in Morgantown. So, I mean, that was in kind of that monkey off their back there, especially, you know, big time win to go to 8-0 on the year there. And top 10 teams, so that's huge for the Frogs.
It is indeed. Let's see elsewhere. Oklahoma and Baylor won.
I was shocked how, not that Baylor won so much, but the way that they whooped Tech in Lubbock like that, that's kind of impressive. Tech usually puts up a good fight against everybody in Lubbock. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a not even close, really.
Yeah.
Next week. No huge games next week. Texas rolls into Manhattan to play K-State.
Watch out. Tech, they might.
Yeah, so you never know.
Watch out. They might get rolled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be. But, the Big 12 is kind of one of those conferences, too, that could go either way, too. You know, like, wouldn't it shock me if Texas went in and won that game.
All right. Yeah,
you got to think Kansas State has all the momentum.
Yeah, and that offense is nice, like what they've done there with Martina. Well, he didn't even play the backup quarterback the last 2 weeks has been putting up numbers, and Deuce Vaughn, heck of a running back, little dude, kind definitely like his predecessor there.
There's just a lot of talent on that Kansas State offense that kind of goes unheralded. TCU, they'll put their unbeaten season on the line. They host Tech early next week. They should win that at home.
I think they'll be good in Fort Worth there.
Lubbock, maybe, you know. But
yeah, we're in Lubbock, who knows? But I think they'll be fine in Fort Worth there. They still have some big tests coming up at the end. I mean, Texas still a big game. Baylor, so they still have some bigger games to close out at the end of the year, but they should be good on Saturday.
Yeah. Let's see elsewhere. Oklahoma State tries to rebound. They go to Kansas, who's kind of been sliding since their hot start. And then we talked about Baylor and Oklahoma being winners. Baylor will go into Norman next week. Kind of a middle of the pack showdown.
And who knows with that one at all? You know, the OU's won a couple of games finally.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how good they really are there, but
yeah, that one. We'll see about that one. It's kind of like I said, that's kind of middle of the pack at this point. Right. Just kind of bold positioning. We'll move to Pac-12 out west. Nothing big. Utah won a close one in Pullman over Washington State on, was it Thursday or Friday?
Thursday night. That was actually an entertaining end there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Pullman, like Lubbock, just one of those weird places where you just
play without
always
their
want to pay attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They play without Cam Rising and last second, I think everyone was shocked he wasn't playing. They're kind of a last second thing there. So they're able to go on the road and get the win still. Solid win there for the Utes.
And then elsewhere, Oregon, USC, and UCLA all handled their business. USC struggled at times at Arizona.
Yeah, he did.
But it was a shootout. But they're off, you know, with that, the power on their offense, they can win those.
Very good offense. Mm-hmm.
Yes, suspect defense, but very good offense. And then for all the reports of the Pac-12's demise, five ranked teams this week as Oregon State snuck in, number 24.
Yeah, definitely.
The Beavers quietly having a good season, 6-2. So, yeah, you know, nothing, again, no big games next week really anywhere in the conference. I think Oregon State at Washington might be the highlight next week. But other than that, I think we're just kind of waiting for some of these more late season shows like USC, UCLA, and then Oregon, Utah. I believe they play later.
Oregon still plays Utah, and they also play Washington. But both games are in Eugene, so that I think that they should be able to win those. Watch out. I think at the end of the year, though, that Civil War game against Oregon State in Corvallis.
It is, and that's always a tricky one. Yeah, Oregon's closing schedule as they make their push for the college football playoff. They go at Colorado next week, so that should be an easy win.
That should be.
Host Washington, host Utah, and then, like you said, Civil War to close out the year in Corvallis. That's where things get tricky.
Oregon finds, as in the past, has found ways to blow those type of games. So
that's true. Yeah, we'll see what the program looks like. USC, they have Cal at home, Colorado at home, then at UCLA on the 19th, and then they close their season with Notre Dame at home. So
that'd be an interesting one.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, Notre Dame gaining some momentum. That could be. Yeah. More dangerous games. And seeing that UCLA game was in the Rose Bowl, not that we really mean, they might actually have people in the crowd for that one.
Gonna be a lot of Trojan fans here.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. UCLA's schedule, they go at Arizona State next week. That could be, that's always kind of a tricky place. Yeah. And then they'll host Arizona, that USC game on the 19th, and they end their season at Cal. So those are your big three. And then, look at Utah's schedule. They got a home for Arizona, home for Stanford, the Oregon game in Eugene, and then they end their season at Colorado. So,
did you see that thing that right now that Bo Nix is on par as far as stats with, as when Marcus Mariota won the Heisman in 2014?
Oh, wow, I have not seen that. Good Bo showing up a lot this year.
Yeah, he is. Just waiting to see.
Yeah, he's just waiting to get out of, you know, the plains. Probably, and you know, that probably is a good place for him to go cross country into a kind of more relaxed environment.
Yeah,
you know, at Auburn, that's from just a offense, pressure cooker anyway. And then, you know, his dad was a famous quarterback there, so good for Bo Nix. You know. We'll see if, you know, if Bad Bo rears his head at some point in the year. But right now, Oregon's still fighting for a college football playoff.
Possibly thought, man, this is going to be a long year after that Georgia game. And they really, really answered it. And not only have been winning pretty convincingly. So,
yeah, looking very strong. Yeah. With that said, we'll move into our power rankings for this week. We'll keep it at 10. The first college football playoff rankings come out this Tuesday. We'll keep ours at 10 for now. We might cut it down a few weeks from now. But I'll kick us off here. Number 10, I put the Rebels Ole Miss in there over teams like UCLA. I just believe Jackson Dart, his running ability opens up something else in that offense. And just the way they can, if you can run the ball like they can, That's big in today's game, especially control the clock. Even though they move fast, they still like to run the ball. You know, they got their big showdown with Bam in a couple weeks. But how about you? Who's your number 10?
Yep, I have the same number 10 there. You know, it's kind of a bunch of Pac-12 teams and Ole Miss kind of in that. Where do I want to put them? But yeah, I put it. Ole Miss picked them over UCLA in that 10th spot. I mean, tough second half last weekend in Baton Rouge there, but really bounced back nicely in College Station. Got the good win, got the running game going again. So,
yep. Who's your number nine?
Number nine, I have the Trojans of USC. You know, they had to. I mean, I guess really never in question, but I mean, it was a maybe tougher than expected game there with the Wildcats, but the offense is prolific, so able to pull that one off.
I had the same USC at number nine. You know, like you said, their defense worries us. That offense, though, as long as you got that kind of firepower, you're in every game.
Yeah, for sure.
And we'll see how they end their season. I stayed in the Pac-12 with number eight. I have Oregon. Again, like we said, they've just been rolling along since that Georgia game and handling their business and looking good doing it. How about your number eight?
Same thing. Got Oregon at eight there. They really look good. They've more than exceeded expectations. I don't think a lot of people, you know, took them serious after that Georgia, and they've, you know, blew out UCLA, and you know, it's just a matter of finishing up the season at this point, so we'll see. But right now, Oregon's looking good.
Mm-hmm. How about your number seven?
Number seven, I have the Horned Frogs of TCU. I'm sitting 8-0 there, looking good. That's a prolific offense as well, putting up a lot of points every week. The defense might be the downfall long term, but man, that offense is fire.
Yeah, it looks like we're mirroring this week because I also have TCU. Reiterate everything you said, that offense is really just humming along there. And they don't look like they'll be a slowdown anytime soon. If they can get in that Big 12 title game unbeaten, they're playing for a college football playoff spot.
For sure.
Number six, I had Bama. No news after the bye week. Hope everybody get healthy and ready for this big matchup in Baton Rouge this week. How about you?
Same. Yeah, Bama at six. Yeah, same thing. You know, it was good to see the other side of the field shut down last week. I guess Miss State with Ricks there. Ricks and Kool-Aid, the combination we've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. Seems like they're coming into form, and the perfect timing. Big game, of course. Baton Rouge under the lights. So that'll be a good one.
Yeah, we didn't really talk too much about since we didn't do a show last week, but yeah, just dominant performance by the Alabama defense. And one thing you like to see on that last play of the game when State finally did score, was it DeMarco Helms giving that freshman
crazy
kid
under
hell.
Freshman.
Yeah,
got on him.
Giving him hell for blowing his assignment and letting them score. So you like to see that. That's something you kind of feel might have been missing these past few defenses.
Yeah.
But that kind of hunger to not only want to win games, but just let teams score out. Even meaningless touchdowns. So
exactly.
And, you know, you hope to, like you said, Ricks, that was maybe, you know, him earning a starting spot or at least a lot more playing time for whatever, you know, the coaches haven't seen in practice with him yet. Hopefully that game really showed him what he's capable of.
Exactly.
And he'll go against his old team this week. All right, where are we at? Number five, who do you got?
Number five, I have the Tigers of Clemson.
This is where we finally differ. I had Michigan. Kind of no news with them. We're just kind of waiting for them to get to their big matchup with Ohio State at the end of the year. Number four, I had Clemson. Same thing with them. They have that interesting game at Notre Dame this weekend.
They do.
Could be tricky, or they could go in there and, you know, win by three scores. Who's your number
Who
four?
Who knows what Notre Dame team's going to show up there?
Yeah.
Because they've been all over the place. I mean, for a team that lost to Stanford at home, And then go into the Carrier Dome and get a win like that. That's crazy. But
Yeah, and that offense to show up, perfect timing with that Tiger defense coming to town. Yeah. So who do you got your number four?
Four, I have Michigan. You know, they have rivalry game, got revenge on State. And he missed another kick in overtime, another field goal for the Panthers to win.
Indeed. Panthers after a big interception.
Oh, man.
College kicker, academic, and invading the NFL.
Well, you know to go for it next time, no matter what, if you get another chance.
Just play Madden style, always go for it.
Always go, yeah. But, yeah, Michigan, you know, handle business there. Wasn't the prettiest of wins, but that game usually isn't the prettiest. But they did what they needed to do, and, yeah, kind of just waiting for that last showdown there with Ohio State at the end of the year for the East.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Buckeyes, they are my number three team. Dropping down a couple spots this week for those early struggles, but you do kind of like that Notre Dame game to kick off this season. You don't like the first half struggles, but you like them. You like what they did in the second half by pulling away, handling their business. Who's your number three?
Same. Yeah, Buckeyes, you know, maybe a little closer than people thought there, but it was a road game against the, you know, solid Penn State team there, but really turned it on in the second half there. I can't think of his name right now, but number 44 really was a game changer for them with the, he had the scoop and score, and the interception too.
He was all over the place on defense for the Buckeyes, really. Wreaking a lot of havoc. All right, so my 2-1, I have Tennessee, then Georgia. Same for you?
Same for me, and we know that game is coming on Saturday, 2:30 CBS. So,
the big one, probably biggest game in that rivalry in quite some time. Who knows? Probably since David Green was quarterbacking for Georgia and whichever the damn Clawson brothers was at.
Probably when we were in college was the last time this game was really meant in the whole life.
Probably, yeah. We talked about it earlier, but yeah, huge one in Athens next week. Both of us leaning toward the Dogs. We shall see. It'll be a fun one.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the NFL. You've heard us commentating on some of these early games ending right now, including the battle for the lead in the NFC South between the Falcons and Panthers. That's not a joke, not a lie.
Words nobody thought would be said in 2022.
No, especially with the Panthers after trading away Christian McCaffrey. That's what we missed, a big trade in the NFL. McCaffrey, now on the 49ers. Seemed like the Panthers were going into fire sale mode, maybe tank for the right to draft, you know, C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, and the team has said, no, we're going to win now.
Yeah.
Beat Tampa Bay last week, and they're trying to win on the road in Atlanta right now in overtime.
Who knows what's going to happen? Win last week was crazy. I mean, they just beat the hell out the Bucks.
Beat the hell out of them, and it was very good for my fantasy team who was playing against Tom Brady.
Nice.
So that was good. And then benefited this week from Jalen Hurts coming back, and A.J. Brown decided to score every touchdown.
Yeah.
But let's start. We'll kick into our NFL power rankings, and I'll let you begin. Who's your number 18?
I got Baltimore at the 8th spot. You know, I had them in 8 before their game Thursday night and kept them at 8 because, you know, solid win there. Whether, you know, beat the Bucks. Did what Baltimore does, though. Had the big lead and kind of let them get back into the game, but able to hold on there. Scoop the onside kick there at the end, and you know, I guess right now is a win's a win. So,
indeed, that's kind of which, as long as you're getting W's and they're holding on to their place. I had their rival in the North there, the Bengals, at my number 8. I think they're starting to heat up. I think after slow start to the season, that offense is starting to hum along. They did take a hit. Going to be without Jamar Chase for about 4 to 6 weeks now when he's hurt. But, you know, they have plenty of weapons to fill in. You know, T. Higgins,
Tyler Boyd.
Tyler Boyd, I was about to call him Taj Boyd. That ain't it. Hayden Hurst at tight end, you know, Mixon and Piran at running back. A lot of weapons on that offense. I think they'll be fine without Jamar Chase for that. He'll come back healthy, hopefully, for them for the stretch run. Exactly. I had the Ravens at number 7. We did that before Thursday's game. I will say, though, if the team that played the second half shows up for the rest of the year, that's good news for Ravens fans.
Oh, yeah.
That first half team has been the one that's been struggling and blowing leads these past few weeks. That second half team, Lamar Jackson was perfect 8 for 8 throwing the ball, and then they ran for like over 200 yards in the second half alone. You know, Kenyon Drake kind of having a little resurgence there while J.K. Dobbins is hurt again. You know, and they're calling, it looks like Greg Roman finally got into some deeper, you know, reaches of his playbook, calling, you know, like into rounds for Duvernay, which is good. Right. You know, that guy with that kind of speed. Isaiah Likely, backup rookie tight end, came in and had a great second half after Mark Andrews went down. You're still concerned if you're a Ravens fan about all the injuries. Right. It is, it's just worrying. Yeah, every, you know, someone comes back and then they, you know, Ronnie Stanley still on a pitch count. He's only playing so much. But like you said, win is a win. They now still first place in the AFC North and 2 games above 500, won back-to-back games for the first time this year. And more importantly, if you actually look at the Ravens' schedule, it gets a lot easier the rest of the way. You know, they benefit from, you know, they finished last place in the division last year, so they got the last place schedule. And I think I heard somewhere that, if I remember this right, there are no teams on their schedule right now that currently have winning records except for the Bengals.
Nice.
I believe. And that's the last game of the season in Cincinnati. So could be a division showdown there. Nope. Who's your number 7?
Number 7, I had the New York Jets. Crazy to think about. you know, got the close win last week. Was against the Broncos there. Ugly game, but got the win this week. They happened to lose there, but to the Patriots, who looked terrible last week, but big bounce back there for the Pats there, who still show that they are, can beat AFC East teams. But, I mean, the Jets, until today, you know, they were having quite the little run there. A couple games in a row looking good. The injuries, I think, kind of caught up to them this week. But that defense, and yeah, you know, losing Breece, you know, Breece Hall for the season, that really changes things for the Jets there, because he was really having a heck of a rookie season there.
No, for sure. That's a huge loss for them. They did go and trade for James Robinson from the Jaguars to kind of help make up. We'll see. He's just and a good player. That's a good trade, actually, for them.
Yeah.
And good to see the NFL teams kind of making bigger trades during the season. Not really something I've ever seen in the NFL.
Right.
But, yeah, losing Breece Hall, just his explosiveness and, like, how fun he made that offense look. And like you mentioned, lost to the Patriots today. Zach Wilson did not have a good game. Threw a few picks, a couple few. But, yeah, who's your number 6?
Number 6, I do have the Giants, the New York Giants. They're really been playing good football. They keep winning games. Now, despite basically not having a wide receiver core for the most part, they're winning games. And they're running, you know, healthy Saquon seems to really have been the thing there. The defense is much improved, and, you know, they're one loss on the season. They're playing at Seattle today. We'll see how that one goes, but they're playing good football right now.
Yeah, I had the same. Oh, and the Falcons win. Sole possession of first in the NFC South at 4-4.
At 500.
Nice. All right. Yeah, I had the same. Giants at number 6. like you said, Saquon being that offense just does so much for them. Daniel Jones playing solid football this year. That's really something interesting to watch as their season goes on, to see how they finish up, and B, what they do with that situation in the offseason, if they try to go after, you know, maybe a big free agent quarterback if there's one, or one available through trade, or they stick with Jones, they re-sign him.
Maybe they
Yeah, that's
Right, they played a franchise tag game a couple of years, but
yeah.
that game has gotten really expensive because he'd be almost 40 a year. I don't know if you
Yeah,
want
and
to
I
get
don't know if,
Daniel
yeah,
40.
Daniel Jones is a 40 mil quarterback, even just for 1 year. They did trade, speaking of that receiver core, they traded away their former first round pick, Darius Toney,
Darius
to the
Toney to the
Chiefs.
Chiefs.
And that's a, Chiefs gave up what, like a third for him? Third and a fifth,
Yeah,
something.
third and a fifth. Yeah.
Which kind of, maybe a high price to pay if he doesn't perform, but
Right.
his, all the talent he showed he had at Florida and what the, NFL team saw in him to draft him. Of course, that was the famous draft where the Giants traded down and could have had Micah Parsons and then let their division rivals, Cowboys, get him. And we see how he's the,
Wow.
he's
Yeah.
amazing. One of the best linebackers we've seen in a
Yeah.
long time.
Yeah. But yeah, that's was a big time. I think that we saw know how explosive Kadarius can be. We saw him how good he was that last year in Florida. Things just never gelled in New York. Injuries and didn't get along with the last coaching staff. But if you're gonna find a resurgence and show your potential, he went to the perfect situation. If you can't succeed with Pat Mahomes as your quarterback in the offense that they run there, I think that's on you.
Exactly. And that gives the Chiefs offense maybe a element of speed that they lost when
That
trading
they
away
lost
Tyreek
with it, yeah,
Hill.
exactly.
Speaking of your Cowboys, I had them in my number five position,
Yes, sir.
ahead of the Giants because they are the team to beat the Giants this year.
Right. Yeah.
They had that loss last week against the Eagles in that big game. But they bounced back today. Yeah, who'd they play? The
He
Bears in
beat
that,
the
those
Bears
awful uniforms.
today. Yeah. That orange is so ugly.
Yeah, it's just not a good shade. There's not enough. Maybe it wouldn't be bad if they still wore the blue helmets with it,
Yeah. But I don't
but
know. They wear the all orange and it's
it's
ugly.
offensive.
Yeah.
I don't like orange. I'll say it.
Yeah,
Who's your number five?
the Cowboys as well. Took the tough loss to the Eagles, but kind of expected 2 weeks ago, bounce back. Two wins. It was Detroit and Chicago, but in the past, those are sometimes games that Dallas has found ways to lose weird, but really handled business today. Blew out the Bears. Only thing I could ask more for is I think eventually the rushing defense has to get a little bit better. We're giving up a lot on the ground. A little concerning, but overall very happy with where Dallas is at right now.
All right, so let's see if we match up here on our last four. So 4-1, I have Vikings, Chiefs, Bills, Eagles.
Yep.
Same thing. All right, yeah. All
Same exact
right,
thing.
so let's just go team by team. Vikings, offense, clicking. And again, just another team with so many weapons. You got Jefferson and Thielen on the receiving core. You got guys like Irv Smith Jr. at tight end, who they don't really use a lot, but he's. When
He's
he's there,
there.
he's there for big plays. And of course, Dalvin Cook at running back, Madison to back him up. And Kirk Cousins has been playing well this year. He hasn't really killed him. He has that potential sometimes. Anything to say about the Vikings?
Yeah, pretty much. They're winning games. They had a close they have a lot of close ones, but they've been pulling them out this year. And yeah, Kirk Cousins hasn't been the downfall of the Vikings so far. The offense is humming, so yeah. Looking good.
Let's see, Chiefs kind of just touched on them, adding Kadarius Toney as kind of a flyer to see where they go. They're playing well. They bye week this week. Anything that.
They're still the cream of the corn, the top of the in the AFC West at least. Everybody's wondering if anybody was going to top them this year. Suppose the AFC West was going to be the best division of football. Really hasn't been that way so far. The Chiefs handling business. I hoping to eventually see Buffalo and Kansas City rematch somewhere in the playoffs. But.
Yeah, no, speaking of Bills, we had as our number two. They play big tonight at home versus the struggling Packers.
Yeah, that could get ugly.
Yeah, that could get ugly. That could be like kind of a knockout blow for the Packers, especially with the Vikings winning today again, they could really expand that lead in the NFC North. The Bills could really cement their status as, you know, maybe Super Bowl favorite still.
Yeah.
Or at least go a long way to maybe wrapping up, you know, another step toward home field advantage. Yeah, there's not much to say. Listen, again, there's a theme among these offenses up top here of our rankings is they have a lot. It's not just one big guy or a great quarterback. It's, as we see with the Packers struggles, you got to have, you know, a great guy throwing the ball and then more than one. You know, the Bills have, they don't just have Stephon Diggs. They got Gabe Davis, you know, they got
the
running back starting to step up. You know, Knox at tight end. That's a team with a lot of weapons. And then we'll move to Philly. The Eagles still unbeaten after last week when we did these rankings, still unbeaten after today. As we sort of mentioned earlier, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown went off on the Steelers defense. Threw for, let's see,
four
Jalen,
touchdowns.
285 yards, four touchdowns. Got me over 50 points of fantasy.
Nice.
I'll take that all day.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, A.J. Brown caught three of those touchdowns, right?
Yep. Big day.
Big, big day for the Eagles. They're just mowing down all of their opponents, unbeaten still. Let's let me pull up their schedule real quick. You got anything to say about them while I look it up?
Yeah, they're just, you know, doing, you know, the only undefeated team left. I mean, Jalen is having an MVP-like season. You know, I guess the main thing you just, you know, I really say the only thing they could possibly, you hate to say it, but, you know, something we always see is outside of injuries, I think that could be really the only thing that would derail this team from finishing the season almost as well as what they've done. I mean, they might, of course, lose a game or two, but, you know, I'd be shocked if they're not the one seed when it all said and done in the NFC.
All right. And their upcoming schedule, kind of light, too. So they do have tricky Thursday night football. You know, games have not been good this year. Yeah. They go to Houston for Thursday night.
Jesus.
And then after that, they will host Monday night against the Commanders. Then they go to Indianapolis and then home for Green Bay and the Titans. And then December gets a little trickier. So they go at the Giants, then at the Bears, there's an easy one, at the Cowboys, so that second tilt, home against the Saints, who beat the hell out of the Raiders today. So
yeah,
we never really know what's going on with that Saints team. They'll end their season with the Giants again at home in Philly.
So that's a tough December.
Tough December, but, you know, they got four.
Well, by then, they might have everything wrapped up, so who knows what they're actually playing.
See, what they're 7-0 right now. They should win their next three, Houston, Washington, Indianapolis, to go to 10-0 before hosting Green Bay on a Sunday night game. I believe that's Thanksgiving weekend.
Who knows, but I think they should be good there.
You would think so. I mean, maybe Tennessee or – excuse me, Green Bay finally turns it on by then, but still it's a home game. And then they had Tennessee the next weekend, which Tennessee's good, but Philly should beat them.
Yeah.
And then that December stretch we talked about. So, yeah, I could see them stretching to 10, 11, 10, 12 and 0 going into that game at New York. Any other NFL thoughts you got?
A lot of teams just kind of in that middle around that 500 mark. You just wonder whether, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to, you know, turn it on there? Or, you know, like, you know, are the Rams ever really going to turn it on this year? You know, if San Francisco is able to get healthy, you know, what happens with that?
Oh, speaking of the Rams, Matt Stafford diving for a touchdown.
Look at that.
Old man. They play their nemesis, the Niners, trying to.
They're definitely their nemesis. Because what was it, three weeks ago? Three or four weeks? The Niners took it to them.
Yeah, just that's been a lopsided matchup with Shanahan and McVay there. Just Shanahan owns them. Yep, that's touchdown. That's good pylon cam shot. As the Rams look to get over 500. All right, let's see. Any reactions to the first couple weeks of the NBA season from you?
Well, you know, it's early, but I thought it was last night. Just all the teams that you would think would get blown out all won there. So that was, but you know, overall, you know, so many games left. You know, you just kind of take it week by week there. You know, no, nothing really shocking so far.
No. Yeah, a couple of small surprises. Portland starting out so strong at 5-1. Yeah,
Portland. Utah's looking better than maybe folks thought. They've had a couple of wins, and you're like, whoa. But
yeah, 5-2. I know Danny Ainge is like, all right, who can I trade? We're trying to tank here, guys.
Yeah.
San Antonio with a good start. Weird release. You know, lottery pick, former Bama player Josh Primo kind of released out of nowhere yesterday. And
yeah, but
rumors not looking good for why he was released. Yeah. You know, accusations of exposing himself to female staffers, and
apparently it's an ongoing thing.
So
that's not going to work out very well.
Yeah, let's hope he you know, gets the proper counseling and such for that.
Yeah.
Resumes his career. But elsewhere, let's see. Our teams had a big game earlier this week. Pelicans won a close one over the Mavericks
without everybody.
Yeah, without Herb Jones, without Zion, without Brandon Ingram. So early on, you know, the Pelicans kind of showing their depth, that bench. Yeah. They got Zion back today. I'm not sure they're playing the Clippers right now. I haven't checked that score out. Looks like, oh, they're winning big in the fourth.
Nice. And then Winston didn't even have a big game either. It was all
CJ.
Didn't have a big game at all.
It was Trigger Man, Trey Murphy the third going off.
Yeah,
that night. I believe he was perfect from the field. Yeah,
yeah. I was like, my goodness.
But yeah, if you're a Pelicans fan, that's what we want to see. Those peripheral guys step up.
Yeah,
and they're up 18 on the Clippers with about 6.5 to go in that one.
Nice.
Zion, let's see, 21 right now on 9-17 shooting, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Oh,
whoa,
triple double hunt for Zion.
Big guy throwing the dimes.
Yeah. CJ with 20 points today. Najee Marshall, surprise, with 13 right there.
Nice.
That's what, you know, Pelicans fans are really hoping for, is those other guys to step up.
Oh, yeah.
Provide support and not just rely on the big three.
All right.
And they have done that so far. Winning today over the Clippers with, let's see, is still no Kawhi. Is he not playing today?
You never know when Kawhi is going to play.
No, I see Paul George playing, but he's getting shut down. So, yeah, but it's been a hot start, unless you're the Lakers. Then it has been a decidedly not hot start. They are still winless. And you just got to wonder if what they're going to do there. Are they going to, you know.
You have to think they're not going to ride this out just because they're the Lakers.
And they can't trade LeBron this year, contractual reasons. But they could trade Anthony Davis. Right. They could. I don't know who would take them off their hands, but they could try to trade Russell Westbrook at least.
Yeah, I know that's always a rumor of who's going to take Russ. But is anybody really going to take Russ? Just because, you have to have the right situation for Russ to be in, and you know he's definitely just the way he plays. I mean, it doesn't fit in a lot of teams, and if you have good chemistry, I don't know if that's what you want to bring. Who you want to bring in.
Exactly. I did see one funny, you know, another team struggling. Brooklyn, the Nets, only 1-5 to start. And
yeah, they've definitely struggled.
And Kyrie, once again, making an ass of himself. You know, promoting anti-Semitic videos and then doubling down about it. I don't really have much to say else about that. But what I was getting to there is I saw one interesting proposal was that maybe they should try to trade Russell for Kyrie.
I saw that.
Not sure why the Nets would do that either, but Maybe a nice little,
but you know,
Russell KD reunion.
Yeah, that would be funny to see them back together. At least Brooklyn doesn't have to worry necessarily. Well, Russ is a crazy guy sometimes, but he's not really, doesn't say anything off the court that's gonna really get you in trouble at all, though. So.
No, yeah, but yeah, like it's just if you're a Lakers fan, you're wondering what the hell they're doing because this obviously isn't working. They haven't surrounded LeBron and AD with enough support.
Yeah.
And you're kind of, you know, wasting LeBron's twilight years. You're wasting AD's, what was supposed to be his prime years, you know, after that bubble championship when he looked like he had finally unlocked, you know, that extra gear. Yeah, that next level to make him, because he's so unique of an athlete and player.
Exactly.
And now, you know, does he want out? I know he liked playing out there in L.A., but do they try to recruit some of these draft picks that are owed to every other team in the league? You know, the Pelicans still have control over a few of their picks. Exactly. I'm not sure about this year specifically, but, it's just crazy to watch. And on the other side of the spectrum, the Bucks are the only unbeaten team left in the league. Like we talked about in our preview a couple weeks ago, just having – all of their guys healthy just makes
a world they're healthy. I mean, they'll definitely be no way that they're not at least in the Eastern Conference Finals, I'd say. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, other early teams playing well. We mentioned the Blazers, the Cavaliers, 4-1 start, the Cavs. Phoenix, a hot start, 4-1, despite all their kind of off-season messiness. Like you said, Utah starting probably too hotter than Danny Ainge wanted them to. he would like them to stop winning games so they can draft Victor Wembanyama.
Exactly.
let's see. Last sports thought. World Series tied at one game apiece. Houston and Philly. The fighting Phils just can't be stopped. Big they won game one. Big comeback, big comeback in game one, too, against Verlander, who just continues to struggle bus it and the World Series now 0-6 in the World Series. Unbelievable. Future Hall of Famer.
As good of a pitcher as he is. And leading up to the World Series, he lights out.
Yeah, just lights out. You know, future Hall of Famer, one of the best pitchers of our generation. And
where was this against my Yankees? Where was this against my Yankees, sir?
I know, yeah. Or where was this, you know, Phil's pitching, grooving up these, you know,
right
fastballs for Kyle Tucker to smash two home runs yesterday.
Yeah.
Needed those against Matt Olson. So it goes, though. What's your prediction for the rest of it? 1-1 series now.
1-1. You know, I would say I'm going Strohs in six.
Strohs in six. All right. I kind of like that. I'm going to go Strohs in seven. I think Philly probably takes two at home. Just those crowds have been amazing for them.
Yeah, they are.
I wouldn't be surprised to see if they take two from home and then Astros battle back when the series returns to Houston. Of course, now saying that, congratulations, Phillies fans.
You just won the World Series.
Yeah. As we saw, our Major League Baseball predictions, not much.
Light up in flames early. Yeah.
Yep. Let's go ahead and start burning.
Celebrate now. Yeah. Week-long parade, flip the cars, burn down some stuff. Let's go, Philly fans, get it going. No, you know, that's right. the heck of a time to be in Philly, though. I mean, you got the Eagles playing as good as they are in the World Series. I mean, man.
Mm-hmm. The Eagles playing, you know, the Sixers not the best start, but still, that's a team that's going to be one of the favorites.
That's a really good year for the city right now.
I'm even
kind of taking over for Tampa Bay, who, you know, they had the Rays, the Bucks, and the hockey team going there for a while, but they've kind of taken that over there in Philly, it looks like.
Yeah, and then they have a big game later tonight in the MLS too. There, the Union, I believe one of the favorites to win the MLS Cup. They play NYCFC tonight. Nice. I haven't seen how the Flyers have started. Probably been.
Yeah, I was wondering about, but yeah.
Let's look that up real quick. I know they've been down the past few seasons. not quite the Flyers team that when I was growing up, they were, you know, one of the big powerhouses with the Eric Lindros and them.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Philly. Ah, 5-2 start. That's not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Second place in the division. So good start if you're a Flyer. Yeah, good time to be a Phillies fan. You know, if only, you know, Temple or something would, you know, win some games in football.
Right.
You know, maybe Villanova will be back to their winning ways in basketball this year in the post Jay Wright era. Oh, little trick play from the Niners. See Matt going to throw a touchdown. Look at that.
They might have their next quarterback now.
All right. That should do it for sports this week. Greg, what's done up real good for you this week?
Done up for me really good this week. Last week I had my 14th wedding anniversary, and then it was my wife's 36th birthday this past weekend. So, you know, just
get that number right now. Oh man, 14 years. Woo.
14 years. Yeah.
What do we got?
How about you, sir?
12 more to go to get that.
11 more to get there.
Yeah, 11 more to get there. This week I'm going to say, did he miss that extra point? No, he snuck it in there. Done up real good. I'm going to say my bed last night. As we talked about off air, I worked a late event last night, and I got some good sleep. And with the wee baby Wood on his way this week, probably the last really good sleep I get in my life.
Tonight might be it.
until they go to college. Yeah. But I'll say that's done up real good. I'm going to miss you, sleep. You've always been a good friend to me. Looking forward to becoming a nap dad now, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Passing out. But that does it for us, folks. Thank you for listening again. Be sure to check out everything on the Alabama Take family of podcasts. You got all your needs. Be sure to check out thealabamatake.com for all your reading needs. And we will see you next week, Greg.
Next week. See you there, buddy.